The Carle Center for Rural Health and Farm Safety, a division of Carle Foundation Hospital, is proud to underwrite agricultural programming at WILL. The center helps residents of rural communities with education and training in farm safety. For more information, call 217-383-4606.
It's 8:50 and time for our first look at the commodity markets for this Thursday morning. We have our pre-opening report with Dave Dickey. Hi, Dave.
Good morning, Dan, and good Thursday morning, everyone. This morning, USDA released its export sales report for the week ending January 4th. The numbers look like this. Wheat, 9.0 million bushels. Corn, 46.3 million bushels. And next year, 13.4 million bushels. Soybeans, 21.7 million bushels. We'll discuss the implications of those numbers for the opening bell of the Chicago Board of Trade in just a few minutes with Ellen Dearden of Ag Review. Cash hog prices today are called from steady to lower after some firm bids in the Western Corn Belt yesterday pulled enough animals off the farms to fill most packers' needs for this week and weekend. Terminals are called mostly steady to lower with top prices from $36 to $38. Peoria called steady today with a top price of $36. In the Eastern Corn Belt Daily Direct Hog Report for Wednesday, January 10th, negotiated swine purchases were 13,568. For the base market hog on a 185-pound carcass basis, the base price range was $51.50 to $57.75. The weighted average $55.22, a gain of 30 cents from Tuesday. On a live basis, barrels and gilts sold from $36.79 to $47.30, the weighted average $43.85. For the Western Daily Direct Hog Report, negotiated swine purchases were 17,256. The base price range was $48.75 to $60.50. The weighted average $54.96, a gain of 77 cents from Tuesday. On a live basis, barrels and gilts sold from $38.98 to $46.75, and the weighted average was $44.68.
Support for today's broadcast comes from Strategic Farm Marketing. Strategic Farm Marketing is now holding a series of risk management seminars throughout Illinois and Indiana. Information on seminar dates and locations is available at sfarmmarketing.com or 800-383-0046.
Joining us now with a look at today's agricultural weather is Mike Sola. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning, Dave. It does look like, obviously, things will be changing across the United States in the next few days, and we do look for the potential of some very heavy rain across the Ohio River Valley. And right now, updating a satellite loop and looking at a weather system that moved across eastern Argentina, pushing towards Uruguay, Paraguay, and southwestern Brazil right now. And in the weather the last 24 hours, showers and thunderstorms did scatter across almost two-thirds of Brazil's summer crop region. Rainfall reached over 1 inch in central Goiás and central Minas Gerais, while a few hundredths of an inch almost to just over a half inch occurred elsewhere. High temperatures were mostly in the 80s and lower 90s with a few warmer readings in the Rio Grande do Sul and Mato Grosso regions. Rain is anticipated for most of the nation of Brazil over the next couple of weeks, with only far northeastern portions of the nation expected to remain a little bit too dry. Parts of Bahia and northeastern Minas Gerais will receive some rain, but they will remain drier than usual through the end of the month. Heavy rain may shift southward into southern Brazil during the second week of a two-week outlook period. Computer forecast models probably a little too wet for the region, and we do look for some changes in the forecast later this week. In fact, I was looking at some of the individual locations in the last couple days, and the computer model runs had as much as 7 to 8 inches of rain over that area. Not really jumping on the bandwagon to see that much precipitation, but there could be some excessive rain and flooding in center-south areas, and that should slowly abate. As far as Argentina, they picked up about, the rain fell about three-quarters of the Argentinian crop areas yesterday and early this morning. Amounts were greatest in eastern Entre Rios and northeastern Santa Fe, where 1 to 2 inches resulted. A few locations in Santiago del Estero also reported more than an inch of moisture. Dryness has become more significant in La Pampa and southwestern Buenos Aires in the past week to 10 days. Not much relief is expected over the next week to 10 days, and the region is mostly corn country, and most of the major soybean production areas in the north are north of the dry region there. Restricted precipitation anticipated for most of Argentina over the next full week, with showers and thunderstorms returning during the second week of the forecast period, although current indications do suggest that rain amounts and coverage may be light at times. Pockets of dryness may occur over the balance of the month, but the majority of the crop areas should be in fine shape with subsoil moisture and pretty good situations there. Now, as far as the U.S., yesterday was mostly dry, but colder, wetter weather will approach the region from the west today. A wintry mix of precipitation could occur or will occur through the weekend, causing travel delays, some adversity to livestock, with coverage being around 100%, anywhere from just 0.2 of an inch up to an inch of precipitation, with locally greater amounts expected in the west, up to an inch and a half in eastern, with the Ohio River Valley. Some locations could pick up as much as 4 to 5 inches of rain. And in the northern sections, with the colder air pushing in, 2 to 8 inches of snow will be common in the north and west. Some amounts over 10 inches possible in a stretch from Kansas and Nebraska through Iowa and Wisconsin. Snowfall totals of less than 2 inches are likely in the lower portion of the Midwest. And then the temperatures take a big tumble next week. Lows will bottom out below zero as far south as northern Nebraska and northern Iowa early next week, with single-digit lows occurring Monday and Tuesday into southern Kansas, central Missouri, and northern Illinois. The core of the cold air will reach into the northern and central portions of Illinois by Wednesday morning. With a look at the growing area weather, I'm Mike Sola.
Today's broadcast is made possible with support from First Midwest Bank, serving the banking needs of Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Mike Morris in McHenry at 815-344-7213. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
In the Wednesday overnight trading session, Kansas City March wheat opened at 472 and a quarter unchanged, last trade up 6 3/4. At the Board of Trade, March wheat opened at 450 and a half up 1, last trade up 8. July 464 up 1, last trade up 6 and a half. March corn opened at 362 up 3/4, last trade up 10 and a quarter. July 377 and 3/4 up 3/4, last trade up 8 1/2. December 360 and a quarter up 1/4, last trade up 6 1/2. January beans opened at 658 and 3/4 up 5, last trade up 6. July 695 up 2 1/2, last trade up 8 3/4. November 711 down 1 3/4, last trade up 5 1/2. March soybean meal opened at 191.60, down 10, last trade up 240. March soybean oil opened at 28.06, up 2, last trade up 28. Joining us on the phone to talk about the markets is Ellen Dearden of AgriView in Morton, Illinois. Good morning, Ellen.
Good morning. How are you, Dave?
Well, I'm still trying to recover and keep the throat in well enough that I can get through day by day. Looking at the overnight, looks like we had a little bounce on the overnight. And if you look at export sales, at least in the corn, they weren't too terribly bad this morning.
Actually, corn was pretty darn good. We came in at 46.3 million bushel. The trade was looking for the high side of things under 30 million. So I think that that'll continue this overnight strength. We did hit some buy stops, that type of a trade technical buying on the overnight trade when March corn went over 366. Next resistance on March is 375, but we ought to be up 5, maybe as much as 8 cents in the corn. I do look for continued bull spreading in this corn. A little bit of concern on the back months on the declining El Nino bringing dry weather to the corn belt, but I think it'll be mostly bull spreading.
In the soybeans, 21.7 million bushels?
Yeah, and that was just a hair over the upper end of the trade guesses, but we'll still be up 2 cents, maybe as much as a nickel. Good follow-through on the overnight trades expected. We're still under some resistance areas that are both pretty critical. And the January beans go off the board on Friday, so we'll see a little bit of choppy action there.
What about over in the wheat pit?
2 to 4 higher, probably, Dave. We came in with exports at 9 million bushel. The big news that really spurred this wheat market higher is concerns about Australia cutting their exports, and who's going to pick them up.
We've been looking at a downside wheat objective for several weeks at 447. Is that the end of it, or are we going lower?
I think from a time standpoint, we may be trying to put a little bottom in. I think that we still could poke under this 450 area, just not right now.
What about over at the Merck today?
At the Merck, I think we'll be higher both on the cattle and the hogs. Packers are pretty short bought on this cattle. I think they see that if they're going to do any kind of killing this week, it's got to take place today, tomorrow, because another storm coming in. A little concern there. The futures probably be up 10 to maybe as much as 50 or 60 points. In the hogs, weights are well under a year ago. As a matter of fact, they're slipped down almost 3 pounds under a year ago. Futures market will be up 25 to 50 cents there. I'm still a little concerned about the February hog premium to the cash market. I don't like that from a longer-term standpoint.
Ellen, thank you very much. Ellen Dearden of AgriView, she is in Morton, Illinois. You're listening to WILL Urbana, the broadcasting service of the College of Communications at the University of Illinois. It's 9:01 Central Time.